About a year ago, I offended somebody. A few weeks ago, she messaged me and she said, "I've held on to bitterness and anger towards you for too long. I forgive you." In fact, what's interesting is she sent this "I forgive you" thing even though I hadn't apologized, because I didn't think, and I don't think, that I'd actually done anything wrong. I won't go into it, but it was a really messy situation. It was very difficult. I had to make a decision as a pastor, and no matter what decision I made, one group or the other group was going to be mad. Have you ever been in a situation like that? It's like no matter what you did, someone was going to be ticked off about it, right? And what had happened was a pretty huge thing. And now there was this barrier between me and her because she thought I had made the wrong choice and it really hurt her. But here's the key thing that she said to me. She said, "I choose to forgive you whether you think you were right or not." Like, wow, to me that's a powerful statement, because she's saying, look, this forgiveness doesn't depend on you, it depends on me. I'm forgiving you. She was more interested in doing what God wanted than she was in hanging on to her anger. Even if I didn't admit that I was wrong, she forgives, and she asked for forgiveness too. Too many people want to hang on to their anger. It's like this little toy they have because they feel justified in their anger. When so they want to hold on to it. They love it. Maybe you've been there. Like the pain that someone caused you, you can't forget it. It's just always there. You don't want to forget it. You actually kind of like it. And you're, even if someone's like, "You should forgive that," you're like, "Yeah, bro, I totally have forgiven that." Even though you haven't. Maybe for you, it's like in the back of your mind all the time. Or maybe you know what I'm talking about right now, and it's in the front of your mind. It's really difficult. And the idea of forgiving when they deserve punishment, you know, making relationships right is hard, isn't it? Forgiving people is a very difficult thing to do. And today we're talking about a very short verse in the book of Mark. And if you ignore this, your prayers won't be answered. You may not be forgiven by God, and you're going to be full of bitterness for the rest of your life. This is a really big deal today. Please grab those Bibles in that chair in front of you. It's right down underneath in front of you there. If you've never used a Bible, it's actually pretty easy. So turn that page number. If you got this Bible here, turn that page number. And you'll see a big number in there, 11. That's the chapter. In the Bible, the big numbers are chapters, little numbers are verses. So find that big 11. And then scroll all the way to the next column where it says 22. This is Jesus talking. Now, we've been in this section, this is our third week, on this same story about Jesus, the fig tree, and flipping over tables in the temple. But he said this one little thing at the end that we haven't touched on yet, so I want to make sure we get it. Start in verse 22. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying," think about this. "And when you stand praying," he was just talking about prayer. "And when you pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." All right, that last little verse there. If you have to forgive anyone, forgive them. We haven't touched on that verse yet, but I want to give you a little context in case you weren't here the last few weeks. So Jesus is walking to the temple, okay, the big Jewish temple, the center of their religious life. And as he's walking there, he sees a fig tree. He's hungry. He wants something to eat. So he goes up to the fig tree, no figs. And so he curses it. "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the tree just withers. He goes into the temple. People are selling there, and they're ripping people off, stealing, taking advantage. So he's flipping over tables, and he's cursing the temple too. The fig tree was representative of the Jewish religious system, right? He cursed it. He said, "No one's ever going to get fruit from you again." And so they walk back out. They see the fig tree, and his disciples are like, "This is crazy. How did you kill the fig tree? You just said it'd be dead, and now it's dead." And Jesus answers by launching into this thing about prayer. And we touched on prayer a couple weeks ago, but we have to review it to understand today. "If anyone," Jesus says, "if anyone says to this mountain," so not just the fig tree, but even a mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea," and truly believes it, then it will be done for them. Whatever you ask for, not most of what you ask for, but whatever you ask for in prayer, believe and it will be yours. Let's write this down. Jesus says that if we truly believe, we can ask for anything, and it will be ours. Anything. You could ask for whatever you want. Okay, I'm gonna actually ask you a question, and the answer to the question is anything, okay? Here comes the question. You ready? If you believe, you can ask God for what? And it will be yours. That's what Jesus says. Okay, lock it in. Remember that. Because then Jesus continues and he says, and, like this is important, that this is a continuation of the same thought, right? If you're praying, and when you expect God to answer, and when you stand there praying, if, so now it's conditional, right? This is, you're asking God to do something, but if you hold anything against anyone, you need to forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Whoa. So when you're praying and you want God to answer your prayers, this part of the Bible is written in Greek. And there's nothing crazy in the Greek language here, but I want to point out a couple things. He says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father may forgive your sins. When you stand praying, this Greek word right here implies future events, right? So in other words, there's going to be something that happens to you in the future. In the next day or next week or next month or next year, something's going to happen and you're going to pray and you're going to want God to answer your prayer. You're going to need God to answer your prayer. And so if you want God to answer your prayer in that future moment, then you need to remember the rest of this verse. You're going to remember not just that God answers your prayer, but you're also going to remember that if I've got anything against anyone, I better forgive them before I ask God to answer this prayer for me. Let's write this down. After promising answered prayer, Jesus immediately gives an important warning. If you're praying and you expect God to answer, you'd better forgive anyone instead of holding anything against them. There's a couple words in there that are really important. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it said, if you hold anything against anyone. So I looked up the word anyone in the Greek language, and you know what it actually means? Anyone. I know, it's crazy, right? Like God is literally saying, no matter how insane that person was, no matter how wrong they were, anyone. And then we look at the other thing if you're praying, if you hold anything against it. I looked this one up in the Greek, and I bet you wouldn't believe it, but in the Greek, this one actually means anything. Like this is anything that was done to you by anyone. So you can't actually say, God, I'll forgive everybody for anything they've ever done except that one thing. That one thing really just broke me in a way that you can't you can't say that. Jesus is saying, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now, and you got to forgive that thing that person did. Let's write this down. Jesus says we need to offer forgiveness so that God will forgive us. Many years ago, when my son Simeon was a lot younger, we were playing this game. And we were at our dinner table, and we had a fork. And what I would do is I would take the fork, and I'd set it down, and I'd say, okay, kids, let's make bets on where it's going to land. And so I would hit it, and the fork would go flying. And, you know, it was like, oh, okay, you were the closest. You get that point, you know, and we're just doing this at the dinner table. And then for some reason, I don't know what was going on in my dad brain that day, but I took the fork, and I aimed it at my young son, Simeon. And I was like, who thinks they know where it's going to go? Everybody put bets on. And I said, okay, here we go. And it went, boom! And it smacked him right in the forehead. And everyone starts laughing. And my son Simeon usually is like our biggest laugher. So we all expected him to laugh too. But instead of laughing, his eyes got big, welled up with tears. And he goes, don't laugh at me! And he runs up to his room. And so I follow him. And I sit down on his bed. I'm like, I am so sorry that I hit you. He said, but Dad, everybody was laughing at me. I said, I'm sorry, we will not laugh at you anymore. He goes, Dad, they all laughed, and you laughed, and I hate it when people laugh at me, Dad. And then he said, it's my biggest allergy. I'm praying to God, please don't let me laugh. I cannot laugh right now. Yes, Sam, I understand. I think we all would agree that when people laugh at us, make fun of us. Generally, when people do us wrong, it would be fair to say that that is our heart's biggest allergy. More than anything else in this world, the most painful thing is when someone who says they love you stabs you in the back. When someone who should have been there for you does you wrong. and we don't want to forgive. Mercy is difficult when we've been wounded. Today we're talking about mercy. Whether it's someone laughing at you or someone who stole from you or someone who called you names, whatever it is, we don't naturally want to forgive. Mercy is difficult when we've been wounded. And before we even get into how do we forgive and why, let's just define what mercy is, okay? On your outlines, let's write this down. Mercy is a kindness shown towards an offender or someone indebted to another, such as canceling the debt. Canceling the debt. That's what forgiveness really is. That's what mercy really is. Well, y'all say canceling the debt. What is it? Canceling the debt. A lot of people like to say this little phrase. I bet you've heard this. Forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. Heard people say this? I don't think that's true. If a bank forgave you when you didn't pay your loan that month for the house or the car, you think the banker would be like, no, no, it's not for them, it's for us. We forgave them their loan payment for the bank's benefit. No! No, when you forgive, it's for the benefit of the person who did wrong. It's releasing their debt. In 2003, Robert Knighton was hooked up to an injection. He was about to receive a lethal dose of poison that would kill him because he had earned the death penalty. Years earlier, he had ran out of gas right in front of Richard and Virginia Denny's home. So he got Richard and Virginia and then Robert. Robert was waiting. He'd ran out of gas. Richard walked outside to help him, and Robert ended up going into their house, robbing and killing them. They were in their 60s. And what he got from that was $61 and a pocket knife. When the news came to Sue, their daughter, you can imagine what she was like. She was angry. She got dizzy. She had fear. She panicked. Tears started coming. And then she said, eventually she just felt numb. She couldn't understand why her mom and dad, just old people, poor old people, just kind old poor people, and he killed them for what, $60? Years later, Robert was being prepped for execution, and he had already lost all of his friends except for one. The person who held his hand there was Sue, the daughter whose mom and daddy had killed. And the day before the trial was over, she was singing in her anger and sadness, and she had this thought. Sue, you don't have to hate him. You could forgive him. So she visited him in the jail cell, and this is what she said to him. I don't know what to say to you, but I want you to know that I don't hate you. My grandmother always taught not to use the word hate. She taught me that we are here to love one another, and if you are guilty, I forgive you. She explains later that the only reason she could do that is because the love of Jesus towards her compelled her to do that. That's how she was able to forgive. Now, that's hardcore. I have a hard time forgiving people who leave the milk out. In our church, we have this phrase called untamed mercy. Give me a nod if you ever heard this, right? Untamed mercy. Let's go ahead and write this down. This is what it is. Untamed mercy is a passionate, unlimited, aggressive, even ferocious mercy. It's like the idea of a lion, right? Untamed, picture a lion, and he's like charging at you, and he wants to get you. He is stalking you. He can't wait to jump on you, but not with hate, with forgiveness. That's what we want our church to be like. We want this place to be a place where it's safe to admit your faults, because the consequence of admitting your fault here will be forgiveness. Jude 2 says it this way, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Wow. The Greek word there for abundance, it's a fascinating word. It would be fair to say that the Greek word means increasing to the fullest measure. It would also be fair to translate this word more. Like, how much are you going to forgive them? More. Could you imagine being at a restaurant and the waitress is just pouring water in your cup and you're like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just giving you a little more. I'm like, what? Be like, that's inappropriate. Like, I want our church to be a place where we forgive people so much that other places are like, well, how long are you going to forgive them? Just a little longer. For just a little bit more. You know, like, that's the type of forgiveness that we want to have at our church. And I'm going to say this verse, the whole mercy, peace, and abundance be, and I'm going to say yours, and you're going to shout out in abundance, okay? Mercy, peace, and love be yours. In abundance. That's what it needs to be like. just more, abundance. Jesus says this, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, this is the rule, forgive them. Why? So that, here's what happens, your Father in heaven may forgive your sins, so that God can forgive your sins too. You know, we're in the book of Mark, and we've been in the book of Mark for a while now, but I'm going to move over to the book of Matthew because it has a really interesting story there that Jesus shows how this works out. Before we get there, let me answer some questions quick. How do you forgive yourself when the anger and resentment you hold is because of something you're ashamed of? So I often ask people when they say they can't forgive themselves, it's like, do you believe that God has forgiven you? They'll say, yeah, I believe God forgave me. I just can't forgive myself. I'll say, if you believe God has forgiven you, but you can't forgive yourself, then you are holding yourself to a higher standard than God does. Are you bigger than God? Do you get to hold someone guilty after God has set them free? The answer to that question is no. So if God has forgiven you, you don't have any right to say guilty when the judge says innocent. And when God looks at you and he proclaims you innocent, you have to accept that as reality in your own life. And if you don't, you're setting yourself up to be bigger than God. You can't allow yourself to do that. How do we weigh forgiveness with accountability when it's one Christian to another? So a number of years ago, this is probably, I don't know, 2007 or something, I caught a staff member on church stealing from the church. Each week we would go deposit the offering in the bank and there'd be like just $20 missing. Just $20. And it was like, what is going on here? Are we miscounting or is the bank doing it wrong? Like, we're trying to figure this out. And then I decided it seemed like someone might be stealing. So again, this is in 2007. This is not like now. This is, technology wasn't where it is today. And so I'm just really impressed by this part. I'm going to tell you how cool I am, right? Or how nerdy I am, rather. So I figured out how to set up a camera, like a web camera in there, that would send, like as soon as it detected motion where our safe was, it would send like an impulse to a computer. And when that computer would wake up, it would take a picture with the camera and send a text message to me that said someone's stealing. And it would have a picture. Like nowadays, that's not a big deal. But believe me, in 2007, that was a really big deal, okay? It was like very cool, okay? And so I'm at lunch with all the leaders of the church, except for one, and my phone buzzes. I look at it, and I immediately know who's stealing. And I go back, and I look at the whole video, and there he is, head, shirt, pants. You see him. He walks in there, opens it up, takes money out, puts it in his pocket, and walks away. So I call him into my office, and I say, hey, we've caught you stealing. He's like, I'm not stealing. What are you talking about? And I showed him the video. He walks in, takes the money, walks out, and he says, that's not me. I'm like, that's your head. So I fired him. But you know what else we did? We forgave him. We didn't even make him pay it back. You can actually have forgiveness while having good boundaries at the same time. Jesus never said, forgive and let them reoffend. That's not what Jesus said, is it? He says, forgive. You have to forgive. But if like you're in an abusive relationship, you don't put up with that crap. That's not forgiveness. That's enablement. Right? When someone does wrong, they often need to face you can forgive and release them from the consequences of that sin. That's okay. You can do that sometimes, but sometimes there needs to be a line drawn. You say, I forgive you. I won't hold this against you. And I will ask God not to hold this against you, but you're not allowed to count money at the church anymore. You're not allowed to be in a relationship with me anymore. Does that make sense? So boundaries are good. Forgiveness is good. Can you fit the big orb under your shirt too? Oh, that's some last sermon. You guys haven't even seen the big orb yet, have you? Spoiled it. Okay. Someone says, all right. Someone says, oh, I'm going to answer that later. Okay, I'm going to come back to this later. Let's get moving on. So I told you that story was coming. Jesus told a parable to help us understand how this works. So this is the book of Matthew. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he's going to tell the story now. It's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Anybody in here got 10,000 bags of gold in their house? No? Okay, just checking. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Okay, so you got this servant who owes the king money. He owes 10,000 bags of gold, and he couldn't possibly pay it back. Okay, now here's the giant orb that you heard about, okay? So he's got 10,000 bags of gold that he owes, and he cannot possibly pay this one back. Now, Jesus is telling the story to make a point. The debt symbolizes your sin and my sin. Some people think, I can earn my way to God as long as I do enough good things, but doing good things doesn't take the problem of your sin away. In fact, when you do good things, did you know it puts you further in debt to God? Because we can't even do good things unless God helps us do good things. So whether we're doing wrong or right, we go further into debt to God. Let's write this down. The debt we owe to God is like the debt the servant owed his king. So large it cannot be paid back. So large that it cannot be paid back. Now move this water. We're going to have forgiveness everywhere. Hold on. All right. Let's look at this, Matthew 18. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife, his children, all he had, be sold to repay the debt. This was the punishment. This was the consequence. We can't pay the debt back. If the debt remains unpaid, we go to hell. That's what it is. No debt paid off. We have to have the consequences for our own sin. For your sin, you have to pay it. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, right? He's asking for patience. He begged, and I'll pay back everything. Listen, the servant's master, there's a couple things in here, took pity on him. He felt something. He canceled the debt. What is that? That's the same as forgiveness. Forgiveness is canceling the debt. And he let him go. Help me out here. What just happened? Mercy, peace, and love be yours. Yes, come on, everybody. I know some of you were caught off guard by that. We're going to do it a couple times today, okay? Mercy, peace, and love be yours. Amen. That's right. So the servant's master took pity on him. The Bible said, Jesus said that he was angry, but he took his anger and he let it down, and he was able to forgive the man for the debt that was owed. This is the gospel message that Jesus wants to know about. Us and our sins, right? So we have sinned and we have offended God. And the only way to pay that debt back is by what Jesus did on the cross. Because Jesus lived a perfect life. He never did anything wrong. He was the perfect sacrifice. And he went to the cross instead of you and me. And when he died, God said, okay, I accept his death as a sacrifice for you. And when Jesus died, our sin was covered up. There's one theologian from 500 years ago. He says that Christians are snow-covered dung. Isn't that interesting? Like, all of our work is just crap, but the snow lays on top of it, and it looks pretty, right? Like, our bad deeds have been covered up. Here it says that the master took pity on him, right? That, some people would like to translate this from the Greek into, he was moved with compassion. It literally means that the king felt distress about the bad situation the guy was in, and he needed to alleviate the pain. He wanted to do something about it, and that's how God feels towards you in your sin. God knows that you're in trouble. God knows that you're struggling. God knows that you deserve to be judged, but he feels something about that. He doesn't want you to be judged. This is a picture of untamed mercy. God loves you so much, he feels it so much, that he sent his own son so that you wouldn't have to be punished for your sin. Let's write this down. The king, God, cared so deeply that when he sensed the agony, he had to do something about it, even to the point of canceling trillions of dollars of debt. That's how much that would be, you know, that 10,000 bags of gold. Trillions of dollars of debt. It's wild. It's illogical. Well, how could you forgive that much? You just lose trillions of dollars? That doesn't make any sense. But in the heart of God, it makes sense, because God believes in mercy, peace, and love be yours. You know, if you've never received an abundance of God's mercy, if you've never been baptized and experienced God's forgiveness, today is the day you should, because you can't earn your way out of that situation you're in. You mark on the back of that red card that you're ready to be forgiven, and you put it in one of those red boxes here before you leave today. So the servant got forgiven, 10,000 bags of gold, but then there was a problem. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants So this guy got forgiven, 10,000 gold, right? He found another guy who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Please be patient with me and I'll pay it back." What should he do right now? He should absolutely forgive him. He's like, "Wow, you know what? I was forgiven. I'll forgive you too." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. Ouch! So this guy was forgiven for 10,000 gold, and now he's throwing someone in prison for 100 silver coins. And one of the first questions people always ask is, okay, well, how much of a difference was that? You know, 100 silver coins versus 10,000 gold coins, and 100 silver coins is nothing. Actually, that's not true. 100 silver coins represented 3 months' wages for them. How much are you making a month? I don't know, like $5,000, let's say. 3 months' wages, $15,000. I don't know about you, but $15,000 is a lot of money to me. It's a lot of money to you. If someone owed you $15,000 and was like, "Hey, would you please forget about that? Would you forget about it very easily?" No. The analogy here is that when people do you wrong, it really does hurt. It really is painful. And when they did wrong, it really is wrong. When the person stabbed you in the back, it's not okay. It is a big deal. The problem is, if God has forgiven you for this, trillions, how can you not forgive someone for this, even though it is real and painful? The king forgave this giant thing in his life. And let's just write this down, because this is how it works out. To accept God's forgiveness and then turn and not give mercy to someone else is the epitome of hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Even if it's just a little thing, it's still hypocrisy. I remember I was probably 13 years old. I was at my grandmother's house, and she had this porch, covered porch, and then there were some shades that covered the windows. Now, these shades were really old. I would estimate 5,000 years old, okay? They were super brittle, and, you know, they hadn't been pulled up in decades, and so the spring was, like, super tight, and these things are, like, if you couldn't bend them. They were just brittle. And so we're playing catch in there. My cousin David throws me the ball, and I go to catch it, and I miss it, and it hits the curtain, and it sets off the spring. And so the curtain goes, whoop, it starts going, flipping around, except every time it went around, it shredded this brittle curtain more. And so it's throwing pieces of shade all throughout. It's like raining plastic shade on our heads, going, it's like raining down, and we're like, ah, and we ran out of there. We told nobody. Did they find out about it? Of course. Nobody ever said a thing. My grandma just quietly forgave me. What if someday my grandkid shreds one of my shades and I'm like, "I will never forgive you"? That's hypocrisy, isn't it? That's absolute hypocrisy. And that would be evil. Wouldn't that be evil to accept forgiveness but then not give it to someone else? And so the king calls that servant in. Then the master called the servant in. "Shouldn't you have had mercy?" In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should be paid back all that. What's the king's attitude? His main feeling is he's ticked off. In Greek, it says that he was ticked off. He was provoked. The unforgiveness of his servant provoked him to remove the forgiveness that he'd given him previously. Look how Jesus sums this up. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Wow. Let's write this down. Jesus teaches clearly, if I'm attacking others for their sin and refusing to have mercy, God won't forgive my sin. I think you should write beside that. This is a big deal. Because I don't know of any biblical lesson that's a bigger deal than this other than accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, it's January 2026 right now. We've been to the book of Mark since June 2024. We are plowing through this sucker. There's been so many lessons. We've learned how to tear the roof off in prayer. We've learned about getting alone time with God. We've talked about not the dangers of not taking God seriously enough. But this is like eternal life stuff. This is about not being bitter yourself. This is about having forgiveness from God, being able to transfer. People really have hurt you. And someone out there really has done an awful thing, and they do not deserve mercy. In fact, you can just say that in your head. Some of you are thinking about a person. You can tell yourself right now, they don't deserve mercy. But I'm actually asking. No, I'm not. Jesus is commanding that from your heart, you forgive the person who doesn't deserve it. They don't deserve it, but you gotta forgive them. And think about this, real life situations. Someone visits our church and they admit, they have a problem looking at porn. What do we do now? What if someone in our Revo Kids area is caught stealing from the gas station? What happens now? What if someone on the worship team or the welcome team gossips about you and you hear them saying, I don't want that person here. Or someone on the church board admits that they've used drugs. What happens now? What if your family member or even me, your pastor, what if we do something unthinkable? I'm not saying we don't have boundaries, right? We have boundaries and there are limits to like what we allow in the church, but we still must forgive, don't we? We must forgive. Jesus said we have to forgive from the heart. That's the word of you, from your heart. And that word heart, when they would say it back then 2,000 years ago, it didn't just mean your feelings. It meant your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, everything about you. God says all of you must be willing to forgive them. Come on. Mercy, peace, and love be yours. Yes. In abundance, all of you. Like it's just more and more, right? This is no matter what they've done. And interesting fact is that 10,000 gold, the Greek is murias. It's literally the largest number that they had in their language. It's not just trillions. It'd be the same as us saying, you owe me zillions. It's like not even a real number. It's just like uncountable. Like we want so much mercy here that it's just like getting out, it's pouring out, it's getting on your socks. Like the point is that God wants you to forgive because he wants to forgive you more than you could ever imagine. Every sin. Even the little ones that you don't think about. You know, I know this about you. I know that you got some little sins that you didn't even know you'd done, but God wants to forgive those too. Sometimes we have a temptation to think, well, that person did more wrong than I've done. And some of you, I actually heard it come out of your brain. You're like, but they did this. I've only done that. Every sin that we commit, the person that we commit it against, the greater the person we committed against, the greater the sin. Even a little sin against a great person matters more. And if you don't believe me, try going home today and punching your buddy, okay? Just punch your buddy. See what happens, okay? You might get punched back. Then I dare you to go to the police station, go inside, and punch a police officer. I bet the consequences are bigger. And then the next time Donald Trump comes to town, what do we know? What do we know, right? The person you attack matters, doesn't it? Right, the consequence of your sin. And when we offend a righteous, holy God, even a little bit, that is a bigger deal than doing something big to another human being. That's why God has to forgive us so much. And we have so little to forgive others, comparatively. I'm not saying that what happened to you was okay. It was really painful, but we have to be able to forgive. All right, let me hit a couple more questions and then we'll look at some practical application. If mercy means wet socks, I don't know if I'm up for that. Yeah. Didn't Jesus actually completely remove our sin? In the Old Testament, the sacrifices they made reminded them of their sins. His sacrifice lets us forget and not think about the punishment of our sins. That is true. I think Jesus did remove your sins. You don't have to go through life worrying about your sins. Jesus has forgiven you. At the same time, Jesus says here, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Like, that's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? Now, theologians can argue, like, is it that, you know, God forgave you, but if you're unwilling to forgive, then he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to count those against you anyway, even though you asked for forgiveness. Or is it that when the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, you become the type of person who forgives. And if you're not forgiving, it's evidence that you really didn't get God's forgiveness in the first place. Like, it's one of those, but whatever it is, the fact remains that if you're unwilling to forgive people, your eternal life is in danger. We can forgive for the act and the impact. It is often a decision and a process. The enemy can mess with us, and when we get triggered, we can think, did I forgive? But we did. We just need in that moment to forgive the impact. I like the way this is worded. So sometimes someone will do something wrong to you. Let's say they steal your car and they crash your car. You got no more car. And you forgive them for it. But then a month later, you get invited to go to Worlds of Fun. Someone's going to buy your ticket, but you ain't got no car there. You're going to feel angry about that again, maybe. And you might say, did I not forgive them? Well, you did forgive them. Now you need to reiterate, I forgive them for the impact that this is having on me. Like, I have already forgiven them, but it's like a process because that emotion will hit you again and again. And it's okay to remind yourself that you forgave them, even if the impact bothers you. Where did you get the color-changing globe? I want one. Just go to Amazon and search for analogy for sin. No, I'm just kidding. No. What about forgiving God when you're angry with him? You can't forgive someone who did no wrong. But God is okay with you being angry because of what he allowed. God's a big dude, right? When I'm angry at God, sometimes I'll go to the Bible. And, you know, counselors will talk about this. Anger is often what's called a secondary emotion. So, like, there's a first emotion that's driving your anger. Like, maybe it was actually you felt let down. You feel hopeless. You feel ignored. And one of these feelings is driving you to anger. And so I like to take the book of Psalms in the Bible because these are songs and prayers. And I figure if it says it in there, I can say it to God. And in my worst times of my life, I've gone to the book of Psalms and found one that fit. Like, oh man, this sounds like, I mean, you can just open your Bible to Psalms right now. It's like kind of in the middle of the Bible, right? Just open it up to Psalms right now. And you just find one in there. Okay, here's Psalm 44. My heart is stirred by a noble thing. Okay, when I'm feeling noble and good, I can go there and do that. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I won't fear, even though the earth give way. So like when I'm scared, I can pray that to God. God, I feel like everything's going wrong, but you're an ever-present help in trouble. You flip over a couple more psalms to Psalm 51. I've done something bad. Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love, not according to me. And like you just go there no matter what feeling you're having, the book of Psalms is going to have something that will help you be able to deal with how you feel about God. What if your anger is towards an authority like the city or the national government? Oh, well, then it's totally justified. Okay. Just, we have to be able to forgive. Okay. The government is an institution. It's very, in some ways, very impersonal, but there are people behind some of those wicked policies, right? We have to be able to forgive the people who have done those things to us. You have to be able to forgive them, no matter what it was. Can you forgive someone without actually talking to them? Like, just forgive them in your heart. I'm going to answer this during the practical application. I'll come back to that. How do you forgive your father after abandoning you and lying and not holding himself accountable for all the wrong he did to myself and my mother? Someone else says, how can I forgive abuse? Let's answer these questions, okay? This is all the practical stuff. How do I get to the point where I want to forgive others? Well, let's start by considering how much God has forgiven in my life. Okay, let's start by forgiving how much God has forgiven in your life. You know that God has forgiven you, so God has covered this up. But what you want to do sometimes is kind of peek under the cover and be like, what did he forgive me? Oh, yeah, God forgave me. Now, I don't want you to go into shame, right? So we're going to cover that back up. We're going to remember that God has forgiven us. But we're going to sometimes remember, you know what? I've been an idiot too. And when we remember how loving God is to us, it frees us to love others. I hope that you can finally see like how much God loves you. And when you see how much God loves you and how much he forgives you, it makes it easier to forgive others. Because God has forgiven the unthinkable in you, so you can forgive the unthinkable in other people. That's a quote. I can't remember who it's from. Next, here's what you do. You write down the name of someone who doesn't deserve forgiveness. Your dad, your neighbor, whoever it is. Write down what they did to you. I really mean, write it down. And then write down a list of sins that you've committed, right? You're gonna remember that you've done, you won't be able to list them all. Is that true? You won't be able to list them all. If you're going to write down a list of things that you've done wrong, and then you're going to pray for God's forgiveness. You're going to thank God for it, right? This is like number one, pray for it. Number two, thank God for the forgiveness. And number three, then you're going to determine to offer the same kind of forgiveness to others, someone else. Okay, so you're going to acknowledge what they did was wrong. You're going to get out the blue orb. You're going to say, this was wrong. And then you're going to remind yourself, this is what I've done, and it was wrong. And then God has forgiven me. And then what you're going to do is you're going to look at the paper and tear it up, burn it, destroy it. And then, if appropriate, contact the other person and offer them forgiveness. Now, there might be some times you shouldn't contact someone. You know, if you got a restraining order, for instance. But you may contact someone and it doesn't go well. They don't respond well. So you're going to determine ahead of time to make peace happen. So when they don't respond well, you're not going to be snarky. You're not going to be angry. You're going to say, I just want you to know I forgive you. And they're like, you forgive me? Screw you! You're going to take a deep breath. You're going to buy an orb on Amazon. You're going to move on. Did you know that you don't have to respond to everybody? This is actually true. Yeah. The Bible says this in Romans 12:18. It says, live at peace with everyone. That's a command. Live at peace with everyone. But there's more to this verse. You know what it says? If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a little bit different, isn't it? Because there are some people that it's not possible to live at peace with because they're crazy. Because they won't be kind. Because no matter how much you forgive, they just keep being a jerk. So you're going to do everything you can. As much as it depends on you, you're going to offer forgiveness. You're going to start in your heart. You're going to go to the person. You're going to try. You're going to be the one that says, I will make peace happen. Some of them won't accept it. But that's not on you. Remember Robert Knighton, the murderer? Sue, the daughter of his victim, she forgave him. But not only did she forgive him, and not only was she there holding his hand when they executed him, she also led him to Jesus Christ. He learned who God was and accepted forgiveness because of her example of Jesus in her life. Untamed mercy. Can we just say it one more time? Mercy, peace, and love be yours. Look at me. Isn't that what you want for our church? Isn't that what you want our church to be like? Isn't that what you would like people in your life to be like towards you? We want to be that way. We want to be a place where you don't have to hide your sin. Where you can confess the truth and people will have mercy on you. That's what we want to be like. So let's be like it. Even if you think, no, my sin is really bad. No one will ever forgive. We will still forgive you. We're like these untamed wild animals, man. We're wild with mercy. We're coming after you because I've been forgiven a lot. Have you been forgiven a lot? If we've been forgiven a lot, we've got to forgive a lot. Now that's the type of place we want to be. So let's look at Jesus' words one more time. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it. And it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you want God to answer your prayer, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Forgive them today so that God will hear your prayers, so that you set them free, so that you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven by God. They can be forgiven by God. God will hear your prayers. Believe it and forgive them, friend. You can forgive them. Let's pray. God, we need you. Without you, we remain in our sin. We remain in unforgiveness. But you have given us forgiveness. Help us to give it to others, no matter what they've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Go forgive them.